Let's turn to John 14. And let's go to the Lord before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here. Lord, we ask you to settle our hearts and clear our minds and help us to focus on your word now. Teach us in our heart. Keep us looking, beholding Christ. Make this word life to us. Make us see him and behold him. And make us truly obey everything that you're teaching us here. Lord, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, our Lord in this passage, he's promising. You know, the disciples are very troubled. They're just full of unbelief. And he's promising them that as they obey him, he will send the Holy Spirit and assure them and comfort them and keep them knowing they are in the love of God and that they're his, and he'll keep them assured of this. And that's what he's teaching us. And I want to read this to you now, and let's see this. He says, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father." Notice how it starts with a conjunction. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you." Right then, he dwelled with them then. And he says, "And he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, he said, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." We're not going to look at this verse by verse. We're going to focus on this promise the Lord's making. And we'll see this repeated in the next several passages over and over, because the Lord keeps saying this. It's very similar and just a little different shade throughout the next several passages. But this is what he's promising. He's promising his apostles and each of his saints and you and me sitting here today who are his. He's promising that as we obey Christ's commandments, he, by the Holy Spirit, will keep us comforted and keep us assured in our hearts that we are his and loved of him. That's what he promised. Read it again. Verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Verse 18, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He says there at the end of verse 19, "Because I live, you shall live also." And at that day, you see, he's sending the Spirit, but he's saying, through obedience and trust in the Lord, he's saying, in that day, you shall know. I'm going to make you assured of this. You shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He says in verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Verse 23, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." I want you to look over at 1 John chapter 3. John was there. John's writing the gospel here. But John's first epistle is dealing with this over and over. And in 1 John 3, here's how John summed up what our Lord is teaching. Our Lord said, he's talking about if a man hates his brother, he's a murderer. And he says, verse 16, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Now watch this. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. You see that? We'll assure our heart. Now I'll tell you what this is saying here. He says, for if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. This is what the Lord's promising his apostles and us through the Spirit. Watch. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, there's a common mistake that's taught with this. Our Lord is not teaching you to look to your obedience to try to find assurance. You do that and you will not have assurance. You will not. He's teaching us, as we obey the commandments of the Lord, the Spirit of God will assure you in your heart that you're in him and he's in you and you're his. I can show you this. You remember whenever the Lord told Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, his only son who he loved. And by God's grace, by the Spirit of God, Abraham did it. And he really did it. He in his heart, he slew his son Isaac. He obeyed the Lord. He slew his only son Isaac that day in his heart. But just before he actually killed Isaac, the Lord appeared and he said, lay not thy hand on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Did God not know Abraham feared him? He put the fear in his heart. He created the new heart he had. Of course God knew he feared him. God was manifesting to Abraham in Abraham's heart, I know you fear me, Abraham. And he was making Abraham know, you really believe me, Abraham. That's what Christ is saying to us. That's what John is repeating Christ said in his epistle. If you love the Lord, as you obey the Lord will make you know in your heart that you're his. And he will assure you in your heart and give you confidence in your heart that you're his. That's why it's happy are you if you obey him, because he makes you know. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship one with another, with Christ. And his blood cleanses you from all sin. And you know you have him. And listen to this now. And the assurance and the comfort he gives you, he's making you see Christ more and making you see how complete you are in Christ and how fully he is all your salvation and all your righteousness. After the Lord did that with Abraham, he showed him a ram caught in a thicket to take the place of Isaac. And this is the picture. When you've obeyed the voice of the Lord and he makes you know by his Spirit you're his. He does it by showing you more of Christ, that substitute who took the place of his people and put away our sin forever. And when you see him and he makes you, the assurance and the confidence is not in what we've done. It's what he has done and what he promises he shall do. After that, the Lord appeared to him a second time and he said, by myself I've sworn, Abraham, because you have done this thing. What did he do? He obeyed the Lord. Because you've done this thing, and it's not withheld thy son, thine only son, in blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Thou hast obeyed my voice. He gave him assurance of what he had done for him. He gave him assurance of what he would do for him. And all that assurance was in the promised seed, Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is what our Lord's teaching us. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll send the Comforter, and he will assure you that the Father's in me, and you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. And he will keep you confident that he's all your salvation. He's all your salvation. And John said, and the opposite of that is if we don't obey him, he's going to see to it our heart condemns us and convicts us. But we'll see that too. Now, let's go back here to John 14 and let's just start here at the top. Our Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This itself is the Lord's command to each and every one that's born of him. Now, no sinner loves the Lord by nature. We hate him by nature. You do, I did, we all hated him by nature. That's the heart, the sin nature that's in us. We only love and obey the Lord when we're born again of God. John said, love is of God. We're not talking about here about love between a man and a woman and friends and neighbors. We're talking about the love God puts in the heart. Real love. Love that never ends, because the Spirit of God dwells with you forever. Love's of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You're born of God, you know God. You know him. The difference between law, between legalism, and true obedience to the Lord, the difference between the two is love for Christ in heart. That's the difference. It's the motive. God sees not as man sees. He does not look on merely the outward appearance. God's looking on the heart. And the motive, why you do what you do, is what God's looking on. Is it out of love? God seeth not as man seeth. Now, when we love Christ by his grace, we want to obey him. You want to obey the Lord. You want to obey him. It's the desire of your heart to please him. You willingly want to obey him. It's not a chore to you to want to obey him. You want to. And it makes his commandments to be not grievous to you at all. It's joy. You want to obey the Lord. And you don't want to displease him whatsoever. You don't want to disobey him. That's what he puts in. When you love somebody, you want to please them. It's just that simple. You're willing to obey him. And so when we're born of God, this command of our Lord is personal. Now get this, it's personal. It's from the Lord to each one born of his Spirit. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Peter had said that he loved the Lord. And he had said he loved the Lord more than all the other apostles. In another place, that's what he said. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And he said, no, I won't. I mean, he flat out said, that's saying to Christ's face, Lord, I don't believe that. What is that? Lord, I don't believe that. And the Lord said, yes, you will, Peter. And so then after he did it, the Lord came to him to restore him. And he said, Simon, son of Jonas, you know the 5 points of Calvinism. That's not what he said. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You love me? And three times he asked him that. Do you love me? And he saw John walking up behind him. And he said, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said to him, If I will, that he tarry till I come. If I let him live till I return a second time, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. He said, if you love me. we can't love for each other. He's saying, if you love me. The Spirit of God said through Paul, let every man prove his own work, so shall he have rejoicing in himself. That is, within his own heart. That's what our Christ is promising here. You'll have rejoicing, you have confidence in Christ in your own heart and not in another. Not what you constrain somebody else to do or somebody constrain you to do or whatever. And it's certainty that all who are born of God love the Lord and keep his commandments. This is a certainty. He said there in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He said in verse 23, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. The word which you hear is not mine, it's the Father's which sent me. Now, what are our Lord's commandments? What are our Lord's commandments to his believing children? Listen carefully. Everything he says in this book. Everything. Is there anything in this book you'd take out? Anything in this word that you would remove and say, well, I just don't like that. God's people delight in everything this book. There's nothing in this book that's for the harm of his people. It's all for our good. Every bit of it. And everything our Lord commanded us when he walked this earth is for the good of his people. Everything. Everything. The Lord said, John said that. John summed it all up, and this is it. He said, this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's the sum of everything our Lord taught when he walked this earth. The Lord had just commanded them to not let their heart be troubled. That's a command. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe me, he said. Look back up there at verse John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, if you love me, keep this commandment. Don't be troubled. Believe me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Again, we saw last time, he said, believe me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Faith in Christ and love for Christ are united. They're inseparable. They're the fruit of the Spirit. And true obedience to our Lord is going to be by believing him. And without believing him, there is no true obedience. Now, men can do a lot of things outwardly that looks like obedience. But if it's not from the motive of love in the heart, and it's not with Christ being the object of our faith and trust in him, it is not obedience. I don't care how perfect it looks outwardly. It's not. It's only through faith in Christ as our substitute, knowing he's the only righteousness that we have, that he is all our wisdom and all our sanctification, all our redemption, our eternal life, our salvation. It's knowing he is everything to us. That's what faith believes. He is all. Everything's in his hand. I trust him that he purged my sin, that he fulfilled the law on my behalf. He's all in all. I trust him. That's what faith believes. And so everything faith is doing in love to him is with him as the object for him. For him. You know, the scripture says we fulfill the law. Paul said we establish the law through faith. And everybody wants to stop there and bring the law back in and say, see, you're still under the law at Sinai. And you read on the next chapter, and Paul said, just like Abraham did, by believing on Christ. Christ was his surety. And so Christ was his righteousness. And so by God giving him faith, he believed the Lord, and the Lord imputed the righteousness of Christ to him. That was all his righteousness. And that was long, long, long before the law was given at Sinai. Christ is all our righteousness. If I'm going to the law, nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy, just, and good. But we don't really even learn the spirit of the law except by Christ and by the Spirit working in our heart. He's left us the example to follow. You know, read the Sermon on the Mount. He's telling us, brethren, that that he's the fulfillment of the law. That's what he came to do. And he's teaching us the spirit of the law. It's not just not being angry outwardly. It's if you have anger in your heart, we've committed murder. I mean, it's not just killing outwardly. If you had anger in your heart without a cause, it's murder. To look upon a woman with lust in the heart's adultery. And he's telling us this thing is, you know, and but he fulfilled it for his people, and he is the righteousness of his people. But if we go back and or any of these commands that our Lord gives, if we are trying to obey him with a mercenary spirit, that is, trying to find acceptance with God and justify ourselves and trying to get rewards from God and indebt God to us, that's not love and that's not faith. That's works. That's works. Love's created of the spirit and the heart when we behold this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. That's when love enters in. When you see it wasn't because of anything in us. It was because of God's love toward us, his people. You remember the rich young ruler. And our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The rich young ruler came to our Lord. He came to Christ and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord told him, keep the commandments. And he said, well, I've kept them from my youth up. And I don't doubt that he had. If that wasn't the Apostle Paul, he was just like the Apostle Paul. Paul said, as touching the law, blameless. You wouldn't have found anything to accuse him of. And our Lord said, when he heard that, he said, you lack one thing. He said, sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. That was the Lord's command. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful because he was very rich. Now, let me ask you this. I know the answer to this. You that know Christ, you that have the love of God in your heart, if Christ was standing right here today, and you know him, and you have his love in your heart, you know him, you believe he's all your salvation, he's the unsearchable riches God's given to you, you know him, and he said to you, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. Don't worry about it. I'm going to provide for you. Come on, follow me. You wouldn't have a problem selling everything you got following him. Why? What's the difference between you that love him and the rich young ruler? You love him. He put a love in your heart. That's the difference. The rich young ruler didn't have that. He loved his riches. He was covetous for... Yes, he was covetous. That wasn't his main problem. His main problem was he didn't love the Lord. He didn't love the Lord. The love of Christ creates in the new heart a willingness to confess him, because he commands us to, not only to part with everything, not only to not love this world. He says, don't love it. He says, he makes you stop being trusting that your riches is your salvation. He gave it. He can take it away. He's your life. And so he makes you generous. He makes his people generous givers. He makes you willing to part with everything you have. Because that's not my life. The filthiest thing on the planet is money. And men just love it. And it's the filthiest thing there is. You ought to try to go broke serving the Lord. Try to go broke serving him. Try to give everything you got away serving the Lord for the good of his people. If you can do that in faith and love, do it. And you won't go broke. You just won't. He'll provide for you. But you won't. Here's the thing. You have everything you need because you've got Christ. And by his spirit, you'll know you have him. And what you gave away is not, that wouldn't make you happy anyway. He is. But here's something else he tells us. Confess him before men. And that means even when it means you're going to be persecuted by people you dearly love. Look over at Matthew 10:32. This is his commandment. Why is it that people will claim they believe the gospel of Christ, But then they will not say that Arminianism, free will religion, is false. Why won't they do that? Because Mama believes that. And really and truthfully, they believe it. That's what the Lord's saying. Listen to this. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. This is his commandment. Confess him in believers' baptism. Follow him. Join with his people. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. But he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. If we don't love Christ enough to confess Christ, even if it means being persecuted, we don't really love him. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross, it's the suffering you're going to bear from the world and loved ones. He that taketh not his cross and followeth me, he's not worthy of me. That's the Lord's commandment. That's his commandment. Here's another commandment. The Lord had just commanded them that's all under the heading of believing on him. Believe on him. Part with this world and love him and follow him and confess him, unite with his people, no matter what it costs you, no matter what you have to suffer, and continue with his people. And if you love him, you will. And here's the second thing. He just commanded them to love one another. Now look back up there in verse John 13:34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. 1 John 5:1, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that's begotten of him. Brothers, sisters, mothers, father, well, all in the family. The Lord commanded them to love one another. What's that involve? It's going to involve washing one another's feet. He just told them this back there in John 13:13. He said, you call me Master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, if God came down here and laid down his life unto the bloody death of the cross and went into the grave, that's what was pictured in him bowing down to their stinking, dirty feet and washing them. He said, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Now, if we love Christ and we're going to obey him, our Lord tells us, do not sin. He says, do not sin. This is how he put it. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Cut it off. That means it's that sin is that much of an enemy. It's that drastic to strive to not sin. Love constrains us to strive against sin. That's so of all God's people. That's so of your brother who you see has sinned. That's so of him. Don't forget that. That's his heart. Because you know that? I tell you how you'll know that. Do you see your own sin? You liking that? Are you hating that? You wish you want God to save you from that? You want God to put that away from you? Have you ever fell down at Christ's feet and pleaded with Christ, Lord, would you please give me the Spirit to overcome this? I don't want to sin against you. I want to be faithful to you. If you have, then you know your brother, when he sinned, that's his heart too. That's his heart too. Now, none of God's saints are going to keep Christ's commandments as we would. Paul said that plainly. The things I would, I don't do. And if you're happy with how you obey the Lord, that's a dangerous place to be. Paul said, I don't. He said, I'm the least of all the saints. He said, I am the chief of sinners. That's not just talk, brethren. For God's people, that's a fact. You know that. You know it. You hate it. It's not excusing you. You hate it, but you know that's so. We do sin, but the Lord will not take the Spirit from His child. He said there, the Spirit will be with you. He will be in you and He will be with you. He chose His people by grace. He laid down His life and justified His people. He sent the Spirit to His people. He's not taking the Spirit from His child. When Peter denied Him and they all left with Peter, He didn't take the Spirit from Him. He prayed for him that his faith fell not. I know people don't think the apostles were born of the Spirit. Yes, they were. He said, He dwells with you. You know Him, and He shall be with you. He just poured the Spirit out in more abundant manifestation on the day of Pentecost. But He said, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Everybody's ever been saved, been born of the Spirit. But He's not taking that Spirit from His people. But the Spirit will make us know in our heart we've sinned against God. It sure will. He said, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. He knows all things. Men will take that and say, well, if your heart condemns you, that's not the half of it. God knows. He knows more than that, and scare the fire out of people. Peter knew. God, Christ knew Peter was going to deny Him. He told him. He knew it. He knew it. And when Peter did it, the Lord looked at him, and Peter's heart condemned him. That's why his heart condemned him. The Lord looked at him. And when the Spirit, if you're His, when you disobey Him, the Spirit's going to make you know it in your heart. He'll make you know it in your heart. And because the Lord promised, who I love, I chasten. He doesn't love everybody. He said, who I love, I chasten. And He will. He may let you go a while. He may let you get good and tangled up to show you what you are. But He will chasten His child and bring you out of it. And when you see your brother suffer and going through something, don't get on your soapbox and start condemning him. Christ said, don't do that. So if we love Him, we'll obey Him. He said, don't do that. Be thankful, because what's happening is, who I love, I chasten. And He's going to correct it. He will correct it. And you won't mortify your flesh and put away any sin until the Lord works that in you. It just won't happen. It just won't happen. And opposite to the joy that we have from obedience, when He chastens us and our heart condemns us, it's not joyful. There is no joy to it at all. It's not supposed to be. You know, when a child's obeying their parents and they're in the love of their father, everything's happy and joyful because they know they're doing what's well-pleasing in His sight. And if they love their father, that's what they want to do. But when you displease your father, you don't stop being in the love of your father. But you know when your father's displeased, and that hurts. That's what the chastening really is knowing I've offended the Lord who loved me and laid down His life for me. I've taken to myself the sin that Christ bore in His body on the tree to save me from me. And that's what hurts you. They'll look upon me whom they pierced and mourn for me as one mourns for his own son, the Lord said. And that's what hurts you in your heart. But when Peter denied the Lord and the Lord looked at him and his heart smote him, what happened after that? The Lord still went to him, didn't He? And three times, Peter, do you love me? And what did the Lord, what did Peter say? Lord, you know. You know. If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. He knows. He knows all things. Lord knew everything. He knew what was needful for Peter, and He knew how to restore Peter, and He knows the same about you and me. And Peter was brought to the place. He said, now, Peter, you made this boast. You're going to love me more than all these. Do you now? Do you? You love me more than these other apostles do? And Peter just said, Lord, you know. You know I love you. When we sin, He commands us to come to Him and confess our sins to Him. So we go to Him and we confess our sins to Him as He commanded. When He works this in your heart, you go to Him and pour your heart, Lord, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned. This has just been evil that I've done in Your sight. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me. Restore the joy of Your salvation to me. And so that's what Christ does as the advocate. He cleanses us, He makes intercession for it, and He cleanses you, and He restores that joy in your heart so that once again, you believe Him like you didn't even better than you did before. And you have a new heart to you love him more, and you want to please him more, it's just all brand new. But as he's doing all that, as he's working all that, what are we to do? If you're not the one at the moment that's fallen, you're to wash one another's feet. That's what he said. That means we're to speak the gospel of Christ to a stumbling brother. That means we're to bear one another's burdens. That means we're to be merciful and restore them. Just think about this. Look at what Christ was doing that night with his apostles. Look what they were doing and look what he was doing. They were denying him. They were doubting him. They were questioning him. They were flat out not believing him. And what was he doing? He not only literally washed their feet, that's what he was doing in everything he was speaking to them. They're sitting there not believing a word he's saying. Question him about how do we know and how are we going to receive the Spirit and the world's not going to receive the Spirit. And he just kept telling them the truth and kept encouraging them and kept comforting them in their heart and teaching them. That's what's going to save his people is the gospel of Christ. That's what's going to restore. That's what's going to correct. That's what if you were saved by somebody threatening you and coercing you to believe Christ, you hadn't been saved. But if you saw Christ and you saw yourself hanging on that tree and saw that's what you deserve because you are the sinner and he made you fall on your face before him and see, if he does not save me, I'm not saved. That's the love he puts in the heart. That's the faith he puts in the heart, seeing him and bearing what you deserve. And so just like he loved us and washed us when we didn't love him, when we hated him, that's how we're to wash one another's feet and love one another. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. It's easy to love somebody that's being kind and benevolent and sweet to you. It's hard to love somebody that's being mean and hard on you. Love them anyway. Love's not a feeling. Love's not this wishy-washy mess of, you know, I just don't feel like I once did. Love is loving whether you feel it or not. Love is loving them and staying with your brethren and pointing them to Christ. Whether they're treating you like you're the best thing since sliced bread or they're treating you like you're a puddle of mud. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Just look at how he loved them that night. He said, because I live, you shall live also. Believe me. That's what he's telling them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. That's what he's saying. This whole world's trying, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. You know, that's the end all be all. I just want to be happy. If you want to be happy, believe Christ and obey him. Because the happiness is not from just the act of obeying him and believing him, although that's pleasant. The happiness is the Spirit will bear witness in your heart. You are his. And you know that because you know you wouldn't be believing him and loving your brethren but for his Spirit. And he keeps you knowing. It keeps you seeing Christ more and more and more. And if you don't, if you disobey him, you have this assurance. Christ said, the Spirit shall dwell with you. He will correct you, and he will keep you looking at him. That's just so. All right, brethren. Father, thank you for this word. We ask you to bless it to our hearts. Make us look to Christ that we might see and we might obey you. And make us do this personally ourselves. We trust you, Lord. Trust you to make each of your people stand. Ask you to work this in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.